Oh, good evening. Good to see everybody out. Bob, we love you, buddy. Appreciate you. I told you Sunday morning that we'd probably just continue in Joshua 8. And that's what we'll do. You thought I was going to trick you. But we'll continue on Joshua chapter 8. Just before we get started, we'll go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get started. Dear Lord, we thank you for bringing us out to your house once again this evening, Lord. We gather together in fellowship and worship, and Lord, we just ask you to be with the lesson. Help us to read your words and take them into our heart. And Lord, show us what you want us to see and what you want us to know, and have it make an impact on us that we might change our lives and draw closer to you each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we'll do a quick refresher of where we've been. We're in chapter 6, then we went to 7, then we went to 8. There, okay, that's it. Nah. So chapter 6, that's where the children of Israel marched around Jericho. God gave them miraculous, they obeyed, they were doing everything right, and God gave them a miraculous victory over Jericho, which was probably one of the most heavily fortified cities in the Promised Land. And they were commanded to not take of anything of the city. Chapter 6, verse 18 and 19, "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves a curse when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So this was the first city they conquered when they went into the Promised Land, and this was to be the first fruit set aside to God. And as we mentioned Sunday morning, first fruit is giving to God the first as an offering. So the people were not to take anything out of the city. It was destined for destruction by God. And this was an evil, you know, God had put off his judgment of this land for a long time. And so this was, people were not living the way they should, let's say. So anyway, they weren't to touch any of the cursed things. It was all designated to God. And taking of these things would not only cause the person doing it to be destroyed, but also bring trouble on the entire camp of Israel, which we get to chapter 7. Unfortunately, all the great things in chapter 6, chapter 7 starts out with the word, but. So after that miraculous victory, now there was a but, and that was caused by Achan breaking the covenant and creating that. So chapter 7, verse 1, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." So he did the one thing that God told him not to do. And then in verse 21 of chapter 7, I just think this is important. We brought this point out Sunday morning, but it's important to talk about again. "When I saw this among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it." So here, like it says, he stole from God, and he knew it was wrong. That's why he's hiding it. Does anybody remember? This is the important part. Remember the order of events of Achan's sin? He saw.
Well, he acted.
Yeah, he saw. That next is coveted or desired, and then the third one would be acted on it. He took.
Yeah.
And then finally, he hid, which we discussed Sunday morning is just like Eve in the garden. She saw the fruit from the forbidden fruit. She desired it, took it, shared it with her husband, and then they hid from God. And then David with Bathsheba, he saw her from the rooftop bathing. He desired her. He sent for her. And then he tried to hide what he had done by murdering her husband. So again, the reason that I want to bring that up is because I think it applies to all of us today. We fall into kind of that same pattern. And it's not always easy to do, but we try to stop the cycle at that first step. The saw. I saw. Shut your eyes. I don't know.
I thought thought a little bit about Christ, you know, when he was in the wilderness being tempted. You know, the devil, you know, tempted Jesus with those same three things. And, you know, the more I think about it and the more I'm going to study about it, I've kind of concluded at this point, that's all Satan has. He can't really, you know, harm us in any other way except for to tempt the flesh, lust of the eyes, you know, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those are the exact same thing. He tempts every human being with, even Christ. When you think about, you know, when Satan took him up to the pinnacle and said, look, I'll give you all this. Of course, he was lying because he's the master of lies, but he was trying to, you know, see some pride in Christ, right? To say, yes, I'll just go ahead and be king.
You know, that's a good, what's that called, segue into, you know, he was offering him to rule right then, right, without going through the mess.
Yeah.
But Jesus waited on the Lord,
right,
which is what we're going to get into in just a second. Jesus waited like he was supposed to. Achan didn't wait. Achan took of the accursed thing at Jericho. And then as we get into the lesson today, this evening, we're caught up chapter 8. I'll come back to that in just a minute. Verse 1, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to... Okay, I got some talking to do, some splaining to do. I tried to figure out how to say AI, and I looked it up and everything else before I come. And I'd listened to commentaries earlier, but you know, the last couple of days I was listening online trying to figure out, and everything said it was either I or AE or something like that. Well, I was listening to more preaching and commentaries for tonight's lesson, and every single one of them said AI, which is the way I'd always said it. I wondered, why did I call it that? Well, every commentator or preacher I've talked to said, so I don't know how they said it, but anyway, Dave, how you want me to say it? You don't know either is what you're saying. It's liable to come out all different ways this evening, but I did want to share that because I didn't see anything online that said AI, but every preacher and commentator I've heard calls it AI. So anyway, let's see. Go up to AI. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. So now we're seeing that the sin's been taken care of. You know, Achan's sin was taken care of. Sin's cleaned up, and God's now comforting Joshua, which I think is really neat. He says, neither be thou dismayed, which dismayed is meaning don't be discouraged. Fear not. So this is like in chapter 1, verse 9, before they cross the Jordan, it says, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I figured Joshua was pretty downhearted at this point. You know, he'd messed up. 36 men were dead. The army got routed back, you know, back to camp. And, you know, he's in charge of these people and supposed to be leading them by God, you know, by speaking with God. And they kind of went out on their own with overconfidence in the last chapter. But here God is comforting. You've took care of the problem. What's past is past. Now let's move forward. So
we could learn that from the day too. Things past have been corrected, move on.
Yeah, that is a very difficult one for me, is letting something go that's been in the past and brushing yourself off and just going on. I like to beat myself up over it forever. And that's not what the Bible teaches, but and for some reason, that's what my brain tries to tell me. But So at this point, now Joshua is back to following the leading of God. And so a commentator says, though Israel stumbled through Achan's sin, as shown in Joshua 7, they dealt with the failure and now had to move on. It is often difficult to regain lost ground, such as I. When we have failed at some point in our Christian lives, we need to know how to get back on track. What is past is past. We must deal with it before God by repentance and dying to self, and then look forward to what He has for us without delay. So it goes right along with what you're saying. We need to figure out how to put that behind us, say, talk to God about it, put it behind us, and move forward. Verse 2. And thou shalt do to Ai and her kings as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. So here's God is promising them a victory like they had at Jericho. It's going to be a different type of method, but they were going to have the same results. So it's interesting because this verse has actually got a very sad aspect to it. Did anybody notice what God said they could have from this city? Let's see, in the middle there. In verse 2, the spoil and the cattle. Spoil, the plunder, the... Yeah. So...
Just mention the cattle,
that was
it.
Well, no, it says the spoil thereof and the cattle. So what I'm getting at here is they're allowed to take from the spoil. It was, three verses earlier that Achan had been stoned for taking of the spoil before he was supposed to. If he just waited on God, he had so much in store for him, but he couldn't wait. And that's what we were talking about a minute ago. You know, Jesus don't make those mistakes like we do. But let's see. Spoil means like, you know, after they destroy, win this battle, they would be able to take the gold and the silver and... they take the other people's stuff. Yep, they get to take their possessions. Now, I don't know if there was any restrictions on it. I didn't dig into that thought, but the point is, you know, here Achan was taking silver and gold and a garment, and here, three verses later, God's saying, there you go, guys, this is yours. And every city they conquered after that, they got to keep the spoil.
Wasn't the gold in the last battle supposed to be taken for?
Yes. Yes. So he literally stole from God and from Jericho because that was supposed to go in the treasury of the Lord. So also in this verse, God's given Joshua a battle plan. He talks about setting up an ambush behind the city. Then verse 3, Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. So Joshua arose is the verse, and I just feel like, or is in there, and I just feel like that's another example of God, of people following God's command immediately after God said it, and then boom, he did it. And I don't know why that sticks in my head. I think that's because it's got a big lesson for me. this time, do you guys remember how many men he sent to battle in chapter 7?
300.
Not 300, but 3,000. And this time it's 30,000. So he's sending 30,000 men to sneak ahead by night and prepare for the ambush. So last time he only sent a tenth of that for the entire battle. And of course, God kind of told him to send everybody here. Let's see. Remember last time they were trying to do this on their own power, but this time they were following God's lead. Verse 4, and he commanded them, saying, behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. So he's just continuing to share the plan with the people, and he's telling them to go and hide and wait near that city and be ready to attack when the command's given. So I picture them going in the night and sneaking in, and I don't know how you get a bunch of people snuck into an area like that, but God was in this, for one thing.
We're up into 5,000, you know, groups of 5,000, I guess.
We get into that, and I tried to study on a little bit, but it gets a little confusing, be honest with you. And yeah, that later on it talks about 5,000.
Three groups of 5,000?
It doesn't say. Yeah, in verse 12, it talks about 5,000. And we should get there.
We'll get there.
I think so. Verse 5, and And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city, and it shall come to pass when they come out against us, as at the first, that we will flee before them. Verse 6, for they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city, for they will say, they flee before us as at the first. Therefore we will flee before them. So here Joshua and the rest of his army, again, he's telling the plan to these people. They're going to go up, march right up, plain view of the city. So the people of Ai see them, and it's going to draw the people of Ai out into battle, and they're going to attack them like the last time, and then Joshua and his army is going to retreat, and Ai is going to think that they're winning like they did the last time. Verse 7, then ye shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. So once the army of Ai is out, then those Israelites that's behind the city in ambush are going to come up, and they're going to jump into the city while all the guys are gone. So it says here, it says in that verse, God will deliver. So they're following the right mindset now. They're trusting in God's power and deliverance as opposed to their own, like they did the last time they went to battle. Verse 8, and it shall be when ye have taken the city that ye shall set the city on fire, according to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. See, I've commanded you. So, and it shall be when ye have taken. I'm saying there's some faith in that. They're not saying if. There's a shall, when, taken. They're claiming it here. They know that God's with them, and they're gonna take this city. And God has also commanded to set the city on fire. So Joshua's sharing these commands with the people. Verse 9. Therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. Let's see if this works. I did find that. I found a few slides. They're not real great. But this, I thought, showed a... I guess I could look at the TV in the back. I don't know what's wrong with me. This shows the terrain of where they were down by the Dead Sea. And I don't... That says, I think... I can't quite read it, but it's below sea level. I think 800 and some feet below sea level. And is it? And then I and Bethel were about 2,700 feet, but you can kind of see the terrain there where they were marching and going to be battling and everything. Of course, we're zoomed way out, but it just give you an idea. Verse 10, and Joshua rose up early in the morning. Well, there's that early again, right? Acting quickly upon God's command. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people to Ai. Again, like I said, there he's acting quickly. Verse 11, and all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. So, again, Joshua's bringing the main army up in front of them. And the way I kind of see it is that they're camping in plain sight so that Ai sees them out there. And it also talks about that valley. So, again, I told you I kind of try to picture things in my mind. I see they're out of reach but in sight. And so this is, to me, Joshua's keeping the battle on his terms. You know, he's letting the people know that they're there, and they're probably all focused there and not on that ambush that's hiding right there behind them. Verse 12, and he took about 5,000 men, this is what Paul was talking about, and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. So here he's setting 5,000 people into ambush. Some commentators were thinking that this was part of the original 30,000, that he was kind of setting them off to the side. Others think that it's a second ambush group, and I tend to believe it's another group, another 5,000, based on the wording in verse 3 and 4, but I don't really know. As I said, I did try to study on a little bit, but kind of getting different answers. But the way I see it is, the first time they took 3,000 and they got defeated because God was not with them. And then this time, the way I see it is he sent 30,000 to be in ambush. He brought the entire army of Israel up the next day. And then he sent 5,000 more people to sit in another ambush. That's the way I see it, but that could be wrong. That's the way I see it. Not all the commentators agree. Like I said, it's not critical to our lesson, but I'd like to learn about this stuff.
I know he said he started out with 40,000 to start with. So to me, it seems like that 5,000 would have been out of 30,000.
It might be. It doesn't get into the. I can't tell by the way that it's worded, but he sent the 30,000 the night before, up through the night. That part I do know because it says that. So regardless here, this is a good military strategy because Bethel might come and help Ai in this battle. I mean, here Israel, they defeated kingdoms on the other side of the Jordan. They've just destroyed Jericho, one of the strongest cities in the Promised Land. And here's Bethel and Ai, these little tiny towns. You know, and so Bethel might come out to help. So he's getting troops kind of in between them and ready. The way I look at it, he's ready to do God's work. God's told him what to do, and he's up early. He's not dilly-dallying around like I do. He gets up and goes. Maybe he wants a worm. Okay. Early bird gets the worm, right? Yeah, Joshua gets up early a lot. Verse 13, and when they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north of the city, and their liars in wait, meaning the people they had waiting, on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. So it seems like Joshua's moved during the night into the valley and getting ready for this battle. So they got a few more slides. Some, like I said, just trying to, they don't know exactly where Ai was. They had a couple places they thought, but it was in this general area. Jericho's in the yellow, Ai's in the red, and then you can see Bethel beside it. That was my envision of trying to place the troops where it said north and west and between. So the blue, and again, just me trying to make sense of this, the blue would have been the main troops. The red, I was thinking, was maybe the original troops he sent up, and then the yellow could have been the additional 5,000. Maybe there wasn't an additional 5,000. Maybe it was all part of the other. But again, I'm just trying to make sense of it all. You can see the terrain. You can see the valleys where they could hide. So here's another different photo, and it kind of shows the path that they would have took to get from Gilgal up there. And then this was a couple different ways they could have been on the west and for the ambush. And then this one as well, this is a little different. It had them camping up north, and then they came back down to the east, I guess it would be, for the actual battle. I thought that was interesting. I don't know which way it really is, but
my comment mentions that Joshua stationed 30,000 troops north of Ai and set 5,000 in ambush west of the city and led the remaining 5,000 into the valley.
Yes, they had him surrounded. He had everything covered this time. So let's see how many pages we got left here. I don't want to run us late. Verse 14, and it came to pass when the king of Ai saw it, they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle. He and all the people at the time appointed before the plain. But he wist not that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. So here, this is the way I picture. King of Ai wakes up. They moved in the night, and he sees them out there, and they go out. They're ready for battle. Of course, he didn't know about the ambush. And verse 15, and Joshua and all of Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. So as they planned, Joshua was pretending to retreat back into the wilderness. Verse 16, and all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them. And they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. And there was not a man left in Ai, and this is a key here, or Bethel. So here it's talking, we see that Bethel did join the fight. but this is all it says about Bethel, that went not out after Israel, and they left the city open and pursued after Israel. So here, I was thinking that it's a repeat of the previous battle, and they chase after them, and I feel like they're a little bit overconfident after their previous victory, kind of like the Israelites were, you know, when they went up there to originally. So here, what a huge military blunder to leave your city completely unguarded. All the men go out to chase Israel, and
well, he was taking it from the last battle too. How they had at least 3,000. Well, this was 5,000, and they thought, well, this is just a small army. We'll just take them, you know. And that was their mistake. That it was more than just 5,000. There was, you know, 30,000 stationed, another 5,000 stationed behind them. You know?
Yeah, they come out. They were planning on just destroying Israel. They're not getting away this time. We're going to cut them all down. And yeah, in verse 18, and the Lord said to Joshua, here's the turning point, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand towards Ai, for I will give it into thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. So here is the signal for them to go into the ambush. And it says, the Lord said. So here, once again, he's following God's lead. And some commentators drew a comparison between this battle and Jesus, how there was a spear involved in his crucifixion, what looked like defeat. Satan, you know, thought he was winning. It was actually part of God's plan. And then, of course, Jesus offering the ultimate victory. And so, let's see. Verse 19, and the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered into the city and took it and hasted to set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven, and they had no power to flee this way or that. And the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon their pursuers. So can you imagine the way the men of Ai felt when they turned around and saw that smoke? That would have been, I mean, can you, just your heart would sink. You would know, oops, we're done for. Huge mistake, and I'd say they knew that they were completely defeated.
They left the city wide open.
Yep. In verse 21, when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they returned again and slew the men of Ai. So here the fleeing troops turn around and they're going back into battle, and so they're getting from both ends. In verse 22, and the other issued out of the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side, and they smote them so that they let none of them remain or escape. So once the city was under control, now the people of Israel's troops that was in the city came out, and like I said, the army of Ai was completely surrounded. And of course, Israel's going to have a complete victory here. And verse 23, and they took the king of Ai. The king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. I'm thinking maybe that's so he can see the destruction of his city, see this total defeat before they hang him in the later verses. So we are out of time, so I don't want to keep you here. But verses 24 and 25, it talks about them slaying all the people in the from Ai. And 12,000 had fell. Let's see, and they continued in the verse 26 and 7. They continued in the battle until it was completely destroyed. And once again, Israel got to keep the plunder. And if, like we said earlier, if Achan had only obeyed and waited for the Lord, God had these great things for him if he just waited. Then in verse 28, they burnt Ai just like God had commanded. And then 29. And the king of Ai, he hanged in a tree until eventide. So, I'll just go ahead and read this. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city and raise thereupon a great heap of stones that remaineth until this day. So they hung the king until evening time, and that was a Jewish law that they had to remove someone hang from a tree before night. So one of the commentators, I kind of like this summary, of this. It says, we can summarize the keys for victory from this chapter. Be encouraged, follow the Lord's plan, use every resource and the best resources, go on the offensive, show no mercy to your enemy, and live with and look to Jesus. And then I wanted to add a couple more. So trust and obey. Don't get ahead of the Lord. We need to wait on Him. And then check in with Him. You know, be in tune with Him, praying and follow His lead. And the following verses goes into how they praise the Lord after they won the victory. But do we have any questions? We're out of time. We're over time, actually. Probably not. I don't know where I'll be. We may start on verse 30. But we may jump around. I don't know yet. Plan on starting on verse 30. Okay, thank you, everybody.